Good morning, and like yesterday, we shall start with wishing Dharmendra and Donald Trump a good morning again. Dharmendra, who thought he could get away after trolling wife Hema Malini, did a total U-turn and said he had been misunderstood and will never again tweet about the broom. And as for Donald, hours after the arrest of Mumbai terror attacks mastermind Hafiz Saeed in Pakistan, US President Donald Trump was the first one to take credit and said the great pressure had been exerted over the last 2 years to find the Jamaat-ud-Dawa chief. Well, the House Foreign Affairs Committee yesterday countered US President Donald Trump's tweet, highlighting that Pakistan was not searching for the 2611 terror attack mastermind for 10 years, as claimed by Trump, but Hafiz was living freely in the country. Well, it is believed that Pakistan has taken the steps in the wake of the upcoming meeting between Trump and the Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan in Washington and the possibility of being blacklisted by the Paris-based anti-money laundering watchdog Financial Action Task Force. It is 18 July, a day also known as Nelson Mandela International Day. But unrelated to that, we head to the overzealousness of media, not only Indian, but Pakistan, about the Kulbhushan Jadhav case verdict from the ICJ. Now, like the Donald, both sides of the border had their media going gaga and putting their own spin on the ICJ verdict. Well, India had dragged Pakistan to the ICJ after a military court in the neighbouring country sentenced Mr. Jadhav to death on charges of espionage and terrorism in April 2017. However, in its verdict delivered yesterday, the World Court asked Pakistan to make an effective review and reconsideration of the death penalty and grant him consular access as demanded by India. And that is all there is to it. He's not coming home. His judicial review will be done by Pakistan courts and not the ICJ. His death sentence still stands and terrorism charges have not been annulled. But people from our consulate can now meet him, talk to him, help him prepare his defense. But there is a 2008 bilateral agreement which some say can also reject the consular access. But to quote the lawyer Hari Salvi, who was fighting the case in the ICJ, the proverbial ink is still not dried to get a clear picture on what the next steps will be. And talking about next steps, the day has arrived when Karnataka takes the floor test. In some relief to the embattled coalition government in Karnataka, Congress MLA Ramalinga Reddy yesterday said he has decided to withdraw his resignation from the assembly and will vote in favour of the trust vote to be sought by Chief Minister H.D. Kumaraswamy, while the survival of the Congress JDS government hangs precariously on the eve of the trust vote, with the Supreme Court yesterday holding that the 15 rebel Congress JDS MLAs who had moved it cannot be compelled to participate in the proceedings of the ongoing assembly session. But by the end of the day, we shall know how defective the anti-defection law now really is. Well, in other news, it isn't 21st July yet, but mark the day to hear what Didi, that is Mamata Banerjee, will say on the Martyrs' Day, as that will set the motion for the elections due in the state in 2021. Of whenever the state elections there are held. Now, party chief Mamata Banerjee has roped in poll strategist Prashant Kishore to get the TMC ready for the elections. Mamata needs a serious reinvention, else it seems it might be a little late for her. Before we head to international news, well, at least 9 persons, including 4 women, were shot dead over a dispute of land at Ubha village in Sonbhadra district of Uttar Pradesh yesterday afternoon. Police said the incident occurred when village head Ek Dutt had gone to take possession of the land which he purchased 2 years ago, and villagers there gathered at the spot and started to protest. Well, after heated arguments, both groups entered into brickbatting, but the situation took an ugly turn when gunshots were fired. And with that, let's head to international news, where goaded on by the president, a crowd at Donald Trump rally yesterday night chanted, send her back, in reference to Ilhan Omar, a U.S. congressman who arrived almost 30 years ago as a child refugee in the United States. Trump used the 2020 campaign rally in Greenville, North Carolina, to attack Omar and 3 other Democratic congresswomen together, called the Squad. And in other news, a 20-year-old cybersecurity worker has been arrested in Bulgaria and charged with hacking the personal and financial records of millions of taxpayers as police continue to investigate the country's biggest ever data breach. Now, Bulgaria's NRA tax agency is facing a fine of up to 20 million euros, that's $22.43 million, over the hack, which was revealed this week and is thought to have compromised the records of nearly every working adult among the country's population of 7 million. Well, the government says the wizard hacker should be employed by the state, while others maintain that the hack was an easy job because the security protocols were that easy to breach. And speaking of taxes, well, a Christian family that refused to pay rates and taxes because it is against God's will has been ordered to pay $2.3 million by the Tasmanian Supreme Court. The pair, who represented themselves, told the court they didn't need to pay a $930,000 bill because everything they owned belonged to God. An Australian tax law fell under the jurisdiction of the Bible. Good argument, but the Associate Justice Stephen Holt disagreed. He told the pair that there was no passage in the Bible that said, "Thou shalt not pay tax." That is pretty much all I have for you for today, except if you're a boss and a diehard fan of a musician or anyone that you take inspiration from, well, you may just want to keep that excitement just to yourself. Well, a director of Iowa's Social Services Agency, a bureaucrat, was a huge fan of the late rapper Tupac Shakur, and he frequently let his subordinates know about it by routinely sending messages to employees lauding Shakur's music and lyrics even after at least one complaint to lawmakers. Then last month, he sent another such email to 4,300 agency employees. He was abruptly ousted from his job the next day. Well, Associated Press released 350 pages of emails with the words Tupac or Tupac sent to and from Fox Irvin during his two-year tenure in response to an Associated Press request. They show that Fox Irvin marks the anniversary of Shakur's death, shared one of his lyrics about love on Valentine's Day, and used the rapper's image to try to improve the agency's culture. He told colleagues he was inspired by lyrics that included, "It's time for us as a people to start making some changes." Well, the only change he will be looking for now is for a change of job. But hats off to the man. As Nelson Mandela once said, there is no passion to be found playing small and settling for a life that is less than the one you are capable of living. So go ahead, play that beginning and rekindle your passion. Until tomorrow, goodbye from takeapart.in.